We start on the mics.
We did. Good morning. Today is Thursday, November 6, 2025. It is 9 a.m. We are in the commission chambers, and I call the Planning and Zoning Advisory Board meeting to order. Would the board members please take their
name? Michael Kapraski.
Thank you.
William Keough.
Marat Bagaev.
Phil Ludos.
Charles Wolf.
And Linda Wall. Let the record show that Mr. Gortz and Mr. Irizarry are absent. Would everyone please stand and hear the pledge, or to the pledge to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Secretary, have there been any requests for public comment?
No.
Thank you. Yes. All right, the first item on the agenda is the approval of minutes. The first one is number 25-2853, approved the September 18, 2025 Planning and Zoning Advisory Board meeting minutes. I would entertain a motion.
I'd make a motion to approve the minutes as submitted.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Mr. Ludos?
No discussion.
Discussion, Mr. Patrikowski?
No discussion.
No discussion? No. All right, then I call for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Motion passes unanimously. Could you please pass that down? All right, could you please read the first item on the public hearings?
Consideration of petition number PSPP250271 via resolution number 2025R72 to approve a preliminary subdivision plat for Westlake, 156 lot residential single family subdivision on approximately 164.48 acres located south and west of Prado Boulevard and north of Playmore Road. Can everyone wishing to provide testimony please stand and raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to provide is true and accurate to the best of your knowledge, so help you God?
Thank you. This is a quasi-judicial hearing. board members, have you had any ex parte communications, beginning with Mr. Patrikowski?
No.
No.
Thank you.
No.
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 And I have not also. Thank you. Board specialist, have there been any aggrieved parties?
No.
Thank you. All right. Presentation by the applicant.
Good morning, board. My name is Trevor Storm. I work with Welland Park. This project is going to add 100.
If you would scoot over to the podium so we can hear you.
Okay.
And speak loudly. And have you been sworn?
Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry.
Hi, my name is Trevor Storm. I work with Welland Park. This project is going to be adding in 156 residential units, as you mentioned, and the open space in the project is going to consist of around 64% open space. This is going to be an add-on to the Everly community and will consist of 65, 75, and 85-foot lots. Most of the pads are going to have a finished floor elevation between 13 and 14 feet, and the roads will fall between 11 and 13 feet. Even with the addition of future development in Village D, we will still fall over 50% under the allowed units per the VDPP.
Okay.
that's all for me, I guess.
Okay, thank you.
I love those questions, yeah.
Staff?
Good morning, board members. I have a presentation.
Morning.
Okay. For the record, Sherry Willett-Grondon, Planning and Zoning Division. I have been sworn. The petition before you is West Lake at Welland Park. This is a preliminary subdivision plat. And the applicant is Christopher Jordan, PE, Stantec Consulting Services. The owners are Main Street Ranch Lands, LLP. And as previously stated, is located southwest of Prado Boulevard and north of Playmore. And the purpose of the request is to create a 156-lot single-family residential subdivision. Let me make this a little smaller. The impacted area is 164.48 acres. Included with the subdivision plat, that preliminary subdivision plat that you see on the screen, this will include the installation of all of the required infrastructure, including but not limited to the water, sanitary, sewer, drainage, and stormwater management areas. The residential units are within the total allowance for Village D. 64% of the area is allocated for open space. And you can see that there's a large existing lake. This has been reviewed. The preliminary plat meets all of the definition and requirements of Florida statutes, Chapter 177. In addition, when the final plat is complete, it must be consistent with the approved preliminary plat, which is what is before you today. As stated in the staff report at length, the compliance with the comprehensive plan, it is consistent with policy FLU 1.8.1. Concerning the preliminary plat application was submitted in accordance with the requirements of the Unified Land Development Code. Per policy FLU 2.1.1, site and subdivision design, they're organized to include the residential lots, roads, stormwater management ponds, and other features, including any impacts to on-site wetlands are minimized through the project design. This meets the transportation element of our comprehensive plan. There's the sidewalks and the connectivity, supporting the bicycle and pedestrian network for future residents. This has implemented the public school concurrency. A concurrency letter has been received and approved by the Sarasota County School Board. They evaluate all types of residential units for that concurrency component. This meets also the housing element, objective number one, to provide a variety of housing types and affordability levels to accommodate the present and future housing needs of the Northport residents. In addition to compliance with the Unified Land Development Code, the new Unified Land Development Code, Chapter 4, outlines all of the subdivision regulations, and it also states that no subdivision shall be platted or recorded, no lot shall be sold, and no building or development permit to be issued unless the subdivision meets all the applicable laws in accordance with the Chapter 2 of the preliminary subdivision plat and final plat. And a formal environmental survey has been completed on the site. All permits will be issued at the time of development in accordance with all state and federal standards. The site is in a FEMA flood zone AE, 1% annual chance of flood, for which base flood elevations have been determined. The preliminary subdivision plat has undergone a thorough review by the development review committee members, who each in their area of expertise evaluate each of the components, including the layout, zoning compliance, any type of maybe potential environmental issues or impacts. The committee has not identified any issues and has found that the proposal meets the guidelines and the regulations for moving forward to the development process. Public notice has been met. mailings were mailed to the property owners, as well as newspaper advertisement. In addition, the city attorney has reviewed the attached resolution as to form and correctness. Staff is recommending that that the Planning and Zoning Advisory Board will recommend that commission approve this petition, PSPP 25-002711, via resolution number 2025-72, the Westlake Preliminary Plat Subdivision. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good. And there have been no aggrieved parties, so we'll move on to rebuttal. Do you have no rebuttal? And staff?
Staff has no rebuttal. Thank you.
Recording secretary, there's been no public request for public comment?
No.
Thank you. Okay, we will close the presentation to board questions. So, Mr. Patrickowski, do you have any questions of the...
Yes, will all the slabs be above flood level so people do not need to get flood insurance on these properties?
Yes, that is correct. Yes, that is correct. The path will average between 13 and 14 feet.
Okay.
Mr. Keel?
Full transparency, I'm a resident of Welland Park. And just who is the builders that are going to be developing this site?
May I?
Please remember to state whether or not you've been...
Good morning to the board. My name is Bruce Mellon, and I have been sworn in. I am the director of development for Welland Park and a co-worker of Trevor's. The builders in there are going to be Lee Weatherington, Neil's Signature, Homes by West Bay, and I believe the fourth one is ICI Homes. So it's essentially the same roster of builders that we're using in Everly, or that have bought lots from us in Everly, are wanting to buy more lots in Westlake. So it should have a similar feel and flavor as the Everly subdivision.
And geographically, does Westlake butt up to Everly? Are they a common border? Or?
No, not at all. Okay. They're on totally opposite sides.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Baguette?
I don't have a question.
No questions? Mr.
Yeah, I have several. My first question for Ms. Ouellette.
Yes.
The committee review group that is mentioned throughout this presentation through the paper, is that made up of planning and zoning staff?
It is made up of staff members from each of the individual departments, fire rescue, utilities, public works, planning and zoning, as well as our natural resources division. And if it has a residential component, then the Sarasota County School Board. So the development review committee, you're probably familiar. It used to be the staff development review committee.
Okay.
It's the similar.
Okay.
Yes.
One of my concerns continues to be the environmental side of it. And it's nice to see that 64% of the project is allocated for open space. But my concern remains that once that's a declared option, and I went back to look at some of the previous ones that have been submitted over the past 4 years that I've been here, and it seems that we've infringed on these statements. The builder comes back and we find ourselves looking at a new project that's going to eat up similar areas. Is once the builder declares that that's a 64% of the project, can they infringe on that open area and come back with another development plan to eat that up?
So, sir, so the item before you today, when it goes to commission, it's approved or adopted by resolution. If they want to make any amendments to that, they would have to go back through the process, and then that would have to be evaluated. So they do have to comply with the adopted resolution, however that is.
Okay. And one of the things when I look at where this is dumping out onto, and I know this is preliminary, but one of the major concerns that I see with these huge planned developments is they put in these roadways that are, and in this case, they're all dumping out onto either river or onto 41. So, but at some point in the traffic side of it, and again, understanding this is preliminary, so I'm not asking for, but my concern here is that what's the traffic load on Prado and some of these other internal roadways, and at what point do they max it out? So as I continue to look at these, that is always going to be one of my concerns when this comes back or it gets through everybody else, is that, you know, how is that going to be handled? And it is a concern. Having been in other developments and lived in other developments, there's times where it pushes the limits of what was put in originally by the builder. So, in the presentation on page 511, it reads, the project anticipates shading impacts to a wetland for construction of boardwalk and some buffer impacts, which will be compensated on site. How are those compensated on site? What does that exactly mean?
Those are compensated with additional landscaping and plant material, typically.
All right, in order to meet what the ULDC and what the, okay.
Correct.
All right, so that's, and that's part of the approval process, I'm assuming then? Does somebody examine that to see whether that meets?
Yes, sir. So our natural resources division are very thorough. They're very supportive of protecting the environment and ensuring that all compliance has met, especially they evaluate any impacts to wetlands.
Okay.
So, and there were no concerns raised, so they had done a thorough review.
All right, thank you on that. When you look at the flood insurance rate map, was that the last revision? It seemed maybe there was a revision in June, but is the March revision the last revision?
That is the latest revision.
That is the latest revision.
Yes.
Okay, I remember a discussion earlier on at another proposal. I thought it was a June date, but I just wanted to be sure on that. And as I indicated, you know, the analysis by Senator staff recommendations, the traffic impacts, that remains and always remains one of my concerns on when we get these as to whether that's going to create additional issues down the road. So that's all I have.
No questions.
I just had a question. Do you know if the eagle nest, is it a bald eagle or a golden?
It's a bald eagle nest.
A bald, okay, good. Are you going to make provisions, because I know they're very sensitive to human activity. Have you made provisions to keep construction trucks and construction workers not in that area?
Yes, ma'am. There are two buffer zones, and each of those are fenced off and completely left alone, and we have flyers posted around the fence with that information. And there are certain times of day that the eagles are more sensitive, so they're not working during those hours.
Have you seen one?
Over there, I haven't, yeah. But I've seen them around Wallen Park.
Oh, so cool. That was my only question. Who actually reviews that? Is that Natural Resources?
They review it, but also the environmental, think of the name, but it's the state agencies also review that and evaluate that. Well, in part, they do have a environmental specialist as well, with works with the state regulations for environmental protection.
Oh. Fish and wildlife.
Fish and wildlife, yeah. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Very interesting. Okay. Well, do you have any closing arguments, applicant?
Oh, excuse me, Chairman. Oh. I have one other question.
I'm sorry.
I don't know if you guys can answer this. Is there a plan to widen Prado like it recently was to two lanes? Is that, as we approach 41 there, is that going to, and by the firehouse, is that going to go to two lanes in that component?
I don't think up in that area, Bruce. Is that?
I'm thinking of the traffic issues.
Yeah, from Sunglow to 41 is being evaluated. Some of that's going to be dependent on the continued expansion of the HCA hospital and So right now, the traffic counts, to Mr. Ludos' question, don't necessarily require that it be four lanes. With the addition of the turn lanes, the WVID thought that now would be a good time to do that for the two-lane expansion, so we could all kind of get a little more bang for our buck, so to speak. From Sun Glow to 41 is being evaluated as HCA Hospital comes aboard. Ultimately, it will be four lanes, but at present, the traffic counts don't necessitate it. And so we're waiting for the expansion of the HCA to, you know, make sure everything is done properly.
Okay, thank you.
That's all I have.
All right. Any more questions, board? No? Okay, then I'll close the public hearing and request a motion.
I move to recommend that the City Commission approve PSPP 25-02711 via resolution 2025-R72, Westlake Preliminary Subdivision Plat. Find that based on the competent substantial evidence, the specific requirements in the City of Northport Comprehensive Plan have been met.
Second.
A motion has been made to approve the petition by Mr. Ludos and a second by Mr. Patrickowski. Any discussion, board? Discussion?
Just that, okay. I appreciate the comments relative to it answers a lot of my concerns on the traffic, that at least they're doing counts on a repetitive basis to make sure we don't create problems that can't be fixed up as quickly as they're recognized. Thank you.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion passed unanimously. Thank you. Would the recording secretary please read the next petition?
Consideration of petition number PSPP 250327 via resolution number 2025-R73 to approve a preliminary subdivision plat for Fire Station 87 to create two parcels, parcel one for a public safety facility and parcel two for an open space park on approximately 4.77 acres located at the intersection of the northeast corner of Minnesota Beach Road and Pareto Boulevard. Can everyone wishing to provide testimony please stand and raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is true and accurate to the best of your knowledge, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. This is a quasi-judicial hearing, and I would like to know if there's been any ex parte communications. Mr. Patrickowski?
No.
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 And none for me. Thank you. Board specialists, have there been any aggrieved parties?
No, there's not.
Thank you. Then we'll look for the presentation by the applicant. Please state whether or not you've been sworn.
Hello, good morning. My name is William Crosley, and I have been sworn. I'm the District Manager for the West Villages Improvement District as the applicant. And as previously stated, this application is the preliminary subdivision plat for about 4.77 acres of the northeast corner of Pareto Boulevard and Minnesota Beach Road. Parcels will be split into two parcels, one for the Fire Station 87, which will be conveyed to the City of Northport upon completion. Track two will be a fire theme park and will remain in control of the WVID as a public park. The design, permitting, and construction is being coordinated by Welland Park LLP. The estimated completion of Fire Station is summer of 2026, and we're hoping that the park is completion and ready for play on January of 2026. I'd just like to thank the Planning Board for your service to the communities. Thank you.
Thank you. Staff?
Good Good morning, board members. For the record, Sherry Willett Grandin, Planning and Zoning Division. I have been sworn. The petition before you is the Welland Park Fire Station 87 preliminary subdivision plat. The applicant was John Luzinski from the West Villages Improvement District and David Gomez, PE. The owners are the West Villages Improvement District. The location is at the intersection of the northwest corner of Manasota Beach Road and Prado Boulevard. And the request is to subdivide tract 102 of the Manasota Beach Ranchlands plat number 1 into two individual parcels. Parcel 1 is for a public safety facility known as Fire Station 87, and the parcel 2 is for a playground area. The construction of the fire station and the playground sites will include the installation of all of the required infrastructure, as well as sanitary water, sewer, access drives, drainage, and stormwater management areas, as you can see on the screen, where how the parcel has been separated out. So the southern portion is the location of the fire station, and the northern portion is the playground area. 53% of the site has been allocated as open space area. The proposed floor area ratio is 5% with 65.2% allocated as open space within that percentage. Seems like it's a little off there. The preliminary plat has been reviewed to meet the definition for subdivision requirements in accordance with Florida Statutes Chapter 177. In addition, the final plat, when it comes forth, must be consistent with the approved preliminary subdivision plat that is before you today, if approved. This is also consistent with comprehensive plan policy FLU 1.8.1 in reference to the application was submitted in accordance to the regulations of the Unified Land Development Code. In addition, it is consistent with the housing element policy 1.9. But I want you to look so that housing should be located within areas where supporting infrastructure is available or planned, including emergency services. As this is an emergency services building, this does meet that requirement. In addition, it also meets the recreation and open space element goal 1 of the comprehensive plan. The playground area will provide additional recreational resources for the public. In addition, it's compliant with the Unified Land Development Code in accordance with Chapter 4, Article 7, regarding the subdivision standards. In addition, a formal environmental survey has been completed on the site. All permits will be issued in accordance with state and federal regulations. This is in a FEMA flood zone X with a 0.2% chance of annual flood hazard. In addition, the preliminary subdivision plat has undergone significant review with the Development Staff Review Committee to analyze the layout, the components, zoning compliance, environmental impact. It's also consistent with the VDPP. The notice of public hearings were mailed to the owners within the 1320-foot radius on October 21st, 2025. In addition, public notice was published in a newspaper. The city attorney's office has reviewed the accompanying resolution 2025-R73 as to form and correctness. Planning and zoning staff is requesting that the Planning and Zoning Advisory Board, we're recommending that the Planning and Zoning Advisory Board would recommend that the City Commission approve petition number PSPP 25-03327 via the accompanying resolution number 2025-R73 for Fire Station 87 preliminary subdivision plat. And that concludes staff's presentation. Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation. Recording secretary, there have been no aggrieved parties?
No.
Thank you. Applicant, do you have any rebuttal?
No, ma'am.
Thank you. Staff, rebuttal.
Staff has no rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you. Recording secretary, if there have been any requests for public comment. Thank you. All right, I'll open up the hearing to board questions. Mr. Patrickowski.
Is there a means to separate the kids at the park from the emergency vehicles? Is there a fence or something? You know, you have emergency vehicles that will be coming in and out of the fire station.
Yes.
How do you separate so there's not an accident with kids coming in and out?
My name is Bruce Mellon with Welland Park. I was sworn in on this as well. I am managing the construction, so if I can speak to that for the applicant. Yeah, there's a fence being installed along Prado and Manasota Beach Road, along with the landscape buffer. There's going to be a heavy landscape hedge between the two properties, and all of the necessary signage at the driveways. There's separate entrances for pedestrians in and out of the park, separate from the fire station.
Thank you.
Yeah, my question is running through my head is, well, first of all, is there financing already set for this firehouse? There is.
Yes, it's already under construction. It's under roof, and it's a Welland Park obligation that we're funding.
Okay. The other thing that runs through my mind is, do we really need another firehouse there? He's saying yes back there, too.
Well, as I understand it, in order to meet the current rating that the fire department has with insurance and whatnot, that it requires that the emergency service to get to any place within 5 minutes. And so that kind of is the generator of where the fire stations need to be located. I may have the details a little off on that, maybe 10 minutes.
I think he's kind of behind you. He's looking to get the microphone.
Again, my name is William Crosley. I am sworn. There is an agreement with the development of Welland Park for the funding of the fire station. And then the West Villages Improvement District will receive impact fees over the years, who will then repay back the developer for the construction of that. And as far as the timing and the coordination of the next fire stations, there's fire studies that have been completed through the post-annexation agreement and the amendment to that agreement as well. That trips a density of population, which requires the next fire station. So I believe that there was a contemplation of three total fire stations in that area, depending on how the population density increases over the years. But yes, the fire study that was done per that agreement for the expansion of the West Villages Improvement District into the city boundary contemplates the coordination through those fire stations and when they occur and when they come online. This second fire station was, I believe, understood years ago because of the density population and the growth of that. So there could be a third one as well.
Okay. Thank you for that. All set.
Rebecca?
Quick question about the camera on the playground. Do you planning to install them and who will control them? Security camera for playground kids.
Any public improvement that's located on the playground will be owned, operated, and maintained by the West Villages Improvement District.
You have a safety camera, security cameras on the playground.
We currently do not. The park is not in operation yet. I don't know what the qualifications are for whether there's a security camera or surveillance camera.
Surveillance camera. I'm talking about. All right.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I'm just confused by the language here. This has been described as an open space park and elsewhere described as a playground. Now, in my mind, those are two different things. Can you please explain what is going on that 4.77 acres?
Yes. For the record, Sherry Willett Grand and I have been sworn. It is an open space park. So the park contains the open space, but it is a park. It'll have the components of the park equipment for the enjoyment and also the open space if you want to sit on a bench and enjoy the area. So the two are interchangeable, the terminology within, but it means the same thing. It's a playground with the open space included, as well as the fire station has there with their open space.
Well, a playground, in my mind, is for children. It's gravel, and it has equipment for swings and stuff like that. A park has trees and fountains and things like that. I mean, for adults and everybody.
Yes.
So,
but it is going to have that, sir. It is going to have the trees and the landscaping as well as the park equipment.
Okay.
So that's why we say with the open space and the park equipment, it's not going to be gravel. So it will be a place with shading, et cetera, as well as the equipment.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Mr. Lutas.
First, I'm going to preface this by saying I've spent my entire career in public safety or government, so this is not a negative side of me. But when I first looked at this, I thought the worst place in the world to put a fire station was on a traffic circle. And I'm still concerned about that. And I'm sure somebody will be able to give me assurances as to how the ingress and egress of emergency equipment, because when you look at where this sits, I'm not sure a traffic light, the whole reason we have traffic circles is to eliminate congestion, and then we plop a fire station on a traffic circle. And so my concern from the standpoint of fire safety is the fact of when these rigs roll out of there and EMS pulls out of there, how is that controlled with approaching vehicles? Again, back to my earlier, Prado and Minnesota Beach Roads are both high volume. I've been in Welland Park enough to know that. They're probably two of the higher ones that you have in there because they're feeder roads that, you know, take you just about anywhere you want to go. So how is the ingress egress of the fire equipment going to be handled on emergency calls?
Go ahead.
Good morning, Lori Barnes, Deputy Director of Development Services. Mr. Lutas, I can tell you that this project did submit a transportation impact analysis, and this was reviewed by both the fire department and our public works transportation engineer, and they have found it sufficient. As to parks are a permitted use in the village zoning district. Parks can include a number of components. They can be active or passive parks or a combination of either. What components are included in that park is not relevant to the consideration of the Planning and Zoning Advisory Board. Your role is to review for consistency with a comprehensive plan. Similarly, fire stations are a permitted use in the village district. And our fire rescue did work with Welland Park to identify the appropriate location for the fire station.
Thank you. I understand that completely, but under policy FLU 1.81, under item 7, one of the components there indicates that you're to ensure safety and convenient traffic flows. That's the nature of the question. And the basic question is that, again, having spent so much time in public safety, and I'm assuming that the fire department would have had to do that, and so would they, but I'm just wondering from that item, how is the safety been a part of the concern? It appears that they must have looked at that, but again, my concern is that not that we need the fire, whether we need it or not. I mean, the fire study clearly, based on population density, you do that every 2 or 3 years, and especially with a project that grows as rapidly as Welland Park's been growing. But so my only concern was that item 7, which is the safety and traffic flow issues coming out of there, dumping into a traffic circle. So,
right, understood. Unfortunately, Anthony Friedman, our city engineer, is not here at the hearing today, but I can assure you that the Development Review Committee's role is not only to review for compliance with the Unified Land Development Code, but also to review for compliance with the comprehensive plan as part of their review of these preliminary subdivision plats. So clearly, because there were no comments or conditions from the city engineer, they found that it met our comprehensive plan provisions.
Thanks, Lori.
Lori, could you please state whether or not you've been sworn?
Yes, ma'am. Lori Barnes, Deputy Director of Development Services. I have been sworn.
Thank you. Sorry.
No other questions.
My only concern is the there's so many neighborhoods around the fire station, and when they turn on their sirens, sometimes in the middle of the night, people around them are disturbed sometimes. Have there been any concerns about the sounds coming from the fire station from the public that to the planning department or the builders?
Yes, Madam Chair, we have not received any public input on this application.
Okay.
Moreover, essential services are exempt from our noise ordinance.
Okay. All right, well, that covers that. Is there any more questions from the board?
No.
Okay. No. Closing arguments. There's no agreed parties, so we'll begin with the closing arguments from the staff.
Staff has no closing arguments. Other than that, we do recommend the approval of the petition as presented, as it does meet the Florida statute requirements, the City of Northport Comprehensive Plan, and the provisions of the Unified Land Development Code. Thank you.
Thank you. Applicant, do you have any closing arguments?
No, Madam Chair, no rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, then I close the public hearing and request a motion.
What is this, 3327?
I have a motion for the fire station.
I'd move to, I just want to be sure I'm on the right, what is this, 3327? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Motion to approve, I move to recommend that the City Commission approves PSP PP-25-03327 via resolution 2025-R73, Fire Station 87, the preliminary subdivision plat, and find that based on the competent substantial evidence, the specific requirements of the City of Northport Comprehensive Plan have been met.
Do I have a second?
I have a second.
Okay, a motion has been made to approve the petition by Mr. Ludos and a second by Mr. Bagayev. Is there any discussion?
No discussion.
None at this time.
Discussion?
No discussion.
No? Thank you. Okay, a call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. Motion passed unanimously. Thank you. Would the board specialist please read the next petition?
Consideration of petition number PSPP-25-03102 via resolution number 2025-R76 to approve a preliminary subdivision replat for Welland Park Downtown Phase 5, extending Welland Park Boulevard right-of-way and creating preservation and conservation areas, stormwater management, open space and future development tracts on approximately 76.7308 acres located west of West Villages Parkway and east of Pareto Boulevard. Can everyone wishing to provide testimony please stand and raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to provide is true and accurate to the best of your knowledge, so help you God?
I do.
I need legal advice.
City attorney.
Just keep in mind you have to talk out your sentence.
I'm wondering if it's appropriate at this point before the presentations. We received two documents.
Okay.
Both voluminous in nature, the whole packet was this week. In trying to go through these two packets, the one is labeled corrected. And so when I went through them both, I'm having difficulty finding what the corrections were, why they were corrected. Is it appropriate to address that before the presentation?
When staff presents,
they will
handle that. And then just for the entire board, make sure when you're speaking that you speak out just
Thank
so
you.
That it's being recorded. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, this is a quasi-judicial hearing. I want to ask if the board members have had any ex parte communications.
No.
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 And no. Thank you. Board specialists, have there been any agreed parties?
No.
Thank you. Okay. Presentation by the applicant.
Good morning, board. Trevor Storm, Wallen Park. I have been sworn in. This covers the extension of Wellen Park Boulevard from the downtown to West Villages Parkway. Ultimately, with future development, this is going to tie downtown to the baseball stadium and promote walkability and bike access between the two. And this is expected to be completed by the end of the year.
Thank you. Steph?
Yes, good morning, board members. For the record, Sherry Ouellette-Grandin, Planning and Zoning Division. I have been sworn. And to address board member Ludos's question, when the packet was originally uploaded, the only word that changed is plat was in the original language. It is a replat. So throughout the documents, it's been it had to be corrected as replat. Unfortunately, the wrong version of the staff report was uploaded. We had the agenda posted, so that's why the agenda has been reposted and the verbiage corrected. Nothing else has changed. So this is the Wellen Park Phase 5 preliminary subdivision replat. Joseph Kelly, PSM of Stantec Consulting Services, was the applicant. The owners are the Minnesota Beach Ranch Lands. The project location is west of West Villages Parkway and east of Prado Boulevard. So the request is to replat Main Street Ranch Lands, plat number one. That plat came before this board a few years ago. And it's to extend the Wellen Park Boulevard right away, to extend that roadway, and to create the preservation conservation area, the stormwater management areas, open space, and to segregate out future development tracks. The impacted area is 76.7308 acres. So again, as previously stated, where you could see on the map, it is to extend that Wellen Park Boulevard, and to do that, you have to extend the right-of-way. In addition, you can see the preservation areas, stormwater management, et cetera. The project is located in Village D. This complies with the Village D Village District Pattern Plan for the roadways. This is consistent with the Florida Statutes, Chapter 177. In addition, the final plat must be consistent with the approved preliminary subdivision replat. It is consistent with Policy FLU 1.8.1 of the Comprehensive Plan, and it meets the requirements that the application was submitted in accordance with the Unified Land Development Code. In addition, the extension of the Wellen Park Boulevard right-of-way completes the street network to support future development and mixed-use growth in that area, and it is consistent with the transportation element goal one. In addition, the compliance with the Unified Land Development Code, Chapter 4, Article 7, governing the subdivision standards. This project has been reviewed, and it has found that it does meet those requirements. A formal environmental survey has been completed on the sites. All permits will be issued in accordance with state and federal standards. The site is in a FEMA flood zone X with a 0.2 annual chance of flood hazard. In addition, this has undergone a thorough review with those departments, the Development Review Committee, including Public Works, Transportation, Public Works Stormwater, Utilities, Fire, Police, Environmental Resources, Planning and Zoning. And after the review of the assessment, the extension, the roadway, there were no issues or concerns found, indicating this does meet the proposal of all the guidelines and regulations and can act and move forward in the development process. Notice of public hearings were mailed to the property owners, again, within a 1320-foot mile radius on the subject property on October 21st in compliance with the regulations of public notice. Also, it was advertised in a newspaper. In addition, the city attorney has reviewed the accompanying resolution 2025-R76 and is correct as to form. Staff is recommending that the Planning and Zoning Advisory Board would recommend that the City Commission approve petition number PSPP-25-0312 via the accompanying resolution 2025-R76. This is the Welland Park downtown phase preliminary subdivision replat. That concludes staff presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Applicant, do you have any rebuttal?
A rebuttal, thank you.
Staff rebuttal?
Staff has no rebuttal, thank you.
Thank you. Recording secretary, have there been any requests for public comment?
No.
Thank you. Okay, I'll open it up for board questions.
No questions.
No questions.
I have no question.
No question.
Ludos.
Just a comment that this is very positive in the sense that it completes that network needed and compliments to Welland Park. They've traditionally done this in the past 4 years that I've sat here, noticing that they're under the stormwater management, they added three new lakes. One of the big concerns with these projects is always impervious areas. And when you lose pervious areas, impervious surface and vegetative cover, they continue to do what is really appropriate when it comes to environmental issue there. And getting traffic off of 41 is, for me, always and continues to be a major concern. We've alleviated some of those concerns through the construction design over there near the gas station that was set up. So my compliments to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ludos. And I have no questions. Closing arguments.
No rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you.
In closing, staff would like to again state that we recommend that the Planning and Zoning Advisory Board recommend to the City Commission approval of this petition. Thank you.
Thank you. On that note, we'll close the public hearing, and I would entertain a motion. Mr. Wolf, do you have
a motion? I move to recommend that the City Commission approve. Where are we? Oh, okay. Approve resolution number 2025-03102 via resolution number 2025-R-76. Welland Park Downtown Phase 5 Preliminary Subdivision Replat, and find that based on competent substantial evidence, the specific requirements in the City of Northport Comprehensive Plan have been met.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Yep. Motion has been made to approve the petition by Mr. Wolf and a second by Mr. Patrickowski. Is there any discussion?
No.
No discussion? Thank you. Okay, I will call for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say nay. Motion passes unanimous. Thank you. Would the recording secretary please read the next petition?
Consideration of petition number PSPP 2501904 via resolution number 2025R71 to approve a preliminary subdivision plat as presented by the applicant for Madera at Welland Park, a 32-lot residential townhome subdivision on approximately 8.6514 acres located north of Tamiami Trail and west of North River Road. Can everyone wishing to provide testimony please stand and raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is true and accurate to the best of your knowledge, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. This is a quasi-judicial hearing. Have there been any ex parte communications by the board?
No.
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 No. Recording secretary, have there been any aggrieved parties?
No.
Thank you. Okay, we'll have presentation by the applicant.
Good morning, Bruce Mellon with Welland Park. I have been sworn in. This is a 32-unit subdivision in the Village BEVDPP along Route 41. 8 four-unit buildings are proposed here. This would represent the completion of all developable land within the Village B VDPP. And just want to note that with the completion of this project, the overall density that was allowed for Village B will be under that density by roughly 18%. I'll be here for questions afterwards, and I look forward to Ms. Willeck-Ronan's presentation.
Staff?
Yes. Good morning, board members. For the record, Sherry Willeck-Rondon, Planning and Zoning Division. I have been sworn. As stated, this is the Madera at Welland Park preliminary subdivision plat. The applicant was Christopher Jordan, PE of Stantec Consulting Services. The owners are the Thomas Ranch Land Partners Village LLP. It is located north of Tamiami Trail and west of River Road. The request is to create a 32-unit residential townhome subdivision. The impacted acres is 8.6. In addition to the subdivision, it will include all the required infrastructure, sanitary sewer, water, drainage, management areas, utility, landscape, and street tree easements. The residential units are within the total allowance of Village B. As stated by the applicant, this is the last developable area in the Village B district. You can see it is adjacent to the Renaissance development in that area. There's also another one, I believe, to the east, which is Oasis. 60% of the area has been allocated as open space. In addition, this is consistent with the Florida statutes, Chapter 177, definition for preliminary subdivision. It meets those requirements. The final plat as well must be consistent with the approved preliminary subdivision plat. It is consistent with policy FLU 1.8.1 of the comprehensive plan, meaning that the application was submitted in accordance with the Unified Land Development Code. In addition, it's compliant with policy FLU 2.1.1 regarding site development. In addition, I want to know that it's organized to include the roads. There'll be the stormwater management ponds and other features. There will be no impact to the wetlands on the site, and they will be preserved with 25-foot buffers, which is required. It also meets the transportation element concerning sidewalks and connectivity for vehicular and pedestrian traffic for the future residents. It is also compliant with the concurrency requirement for the public school. It has been evaluated by the Sarasota County School Board, and they had provided a letter determination and the letter of receipt. It also meets the housing element, objective one, in providing a variety of housing types to meet the future needs of the Northport residents. In addition, it's compliant with Chapter 4, Article 7 of the subdivision regulations as outlined in the Unified Land Development Code. An environmental survey has been conducted on the site. All permits at the time of development will be issued in accordance with all state and federal requirements. This isn't a flood zone AE. It's a 1% chance of annual flood per the Sarasota County Community Panel Number Map, which has been revised March 27, 2024. In addition, this has undergone a thorough evaluation throughout all the staff development review committee departments, including Public Works, Stormwater, Infrastructure, Transportation, Utilities, Fire Rescue, Police, Natural Resources, and the Planning and Zoning Division for compliance with the zoning regulations, any environmental impacts. And the proposal does meet all the necessary guidelines as outlined in the Unified Land Development Code. In addition, public notice was mailed to those property owners within a 1,320-foot buffer area on October 21st, 2025. In addition, it has it was published in a newspaper of general circulation on October 26, 2025. Public notice requirements have been met. In addition, the city attorney's office has reviewed the accompany resolution 2025-R71 as and is correct as to form. The planning and zoning staff is recommending that the Planning and Zoning Advisory Board recommend to the City Commission approval of this petition number PSPP-25-0104 via resolution 2025-71. The Madeira at Wellen Park preliminary subdivision plat. And that concludes staff's presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have some rebuttal by the applicant?
No rebuttal from the applicant at this time.
Rebuttal from staff.
Staff has no rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you. Recording secretary, there has been no request for public comment? Yes? No?
No.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, Chairwoman, I'm a resident of Oasis, and when I receive...
Okay, wait, before you speak, let me check. I want you to come down to this podium over here, and there's a public speaking card, so we have record of how to spell your name.
Okay.
If you could fill that out with the gentleman with the green shirt right there.
Yeah, there should be a pencil right there.
Yeah.
Have you been sworn?
Yes, absolutely.
And have both of you been sworn?
I have not.
Okay.
What is today? 11-5?
11-6.
Well, I just asked for a green light.
What are we? Advisory board?
Yes.
You can just put your name there.
Okay. All right, that sounds good.
Can everyone wishing to provide testimony please stand and raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is true and accurate to the best of your knowledge, so help you God?
I do.
Hey, we'll, if you want to have a seat, ma'am, or do you want her to go first, or do you want her? Okay, you can go first. Just sit and wait. And if you want to stand over here, you have
three minutes
to speak. If you want to stand over there so we can pick you up on mic.
Yeah, we have the microphone over here. All right. This one?
Yep. Stand here?
Yep.
Okay. My name's Colin Dubravonley. I reside in Oasis, and our property adjoins the property that is under consideration here today. I have a couple of questions that I didn't hear during the presentation, which are of concern to me. The first question I have is, I did not hear an elevation for this new development.
Our property we had surveyed is at 11 feet. If their property is going to be at 11 plus, that would have a flood impact on me if the property were to flood. The second consideration is, and this is the danger of rumors, my understanding is that this development is not going to be gated, nor is it going to be fenced. Our property is gated and fenced, but there is no fence between this prospective development and our property, which means that we basically have an open back door, which is of concern to us because we've invested in this property as being secure to for our benefit. So those are the things that have concerned me. I'll just add a general concern, and that is that I hate to see the loss of more of what I call the sponge that is green space in Welland Park in the event that there's a hurricane, which we know is going to come again. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, Jan Lombardo. I have been sworn in. I really have just a couple questions on what was stated earlier and to back up some of the things he said. Question number one, you said 60% of the space was open space. That has nothing to do with the park, right? That's just this 8.6 acres?
That was a separate piece. That was a fire station you're talking
about,
right? No.
No.
So public comment, you have 3 minutes to give your public comment and then may address the concerns afterwards.
Okay, thank you. So the open space around it is my number one concern. And to his point, I think there was 1,000 something feet in between that community, and I'll say Oasis. I am a proud owner in Oasis. And I do worry about all of the homes that back up against it. So there were 5 homes that impacted that were lined up against the new community. And I don't know how much space is in between there. The other thing that I didn't understand was it created a difference in housing types. And I don't know what that meant. I would love to understand that better. To his point, we're gated, we're fenced in, and I don't understand that, what that means in different types of housing. I understand they're apartments, I think. It's not clear. And my general statement is, again, on the environment. When we all purchase there, and I know everyone comes to Florida and says this, but when we all purchase there, we didn't expect this mammoth growth. And I think it's a small area to be crammed in. Oasis had open space. We now have Tamiami with Costco. We have a widened North River Road. We have Tortuga. And the only open space we had was where this community is planned to go. When I moved in, we actually had, I know this is so special and I appreciate it, we had a Black Panther that was in our yard and lived and slept on the home next door's patio while it was getting built. That's, of course, gone with so much of the other wildlife that we're pushing out again. And it's sad to see, for the area is deemed as special. Northport and Welland is deemed as special and different, and I hate to see that go. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to ask the attorney, are they considered an aggrieved party or public comment? And if they're an aggrieved party, can the applicant and the staff respond to their questions?
So Caitlin Coughlin, Assistant City Attorney, as it was presented today, that would have been a public comment under Florida State Statute 286. Public comment is limited to questions or concerns that staff does not have to necessarily answer at this time. It's more for your consideration.
Okay. All right. Then we'll open it up to board questions. Let's start with Mr. Patrick Costa.
I have no questions.
No questions.
I'd like to add that question to...
Okay, Mr. Bagayev.
Can you answer those four questions about elevation, fence, and open space? We just hear about from the neighborhood.
Regarding the elevations, the base flood elevation in this area is 8.0. That was revised in March of 24 from 7.0. The road elevations vary from 9.1 to 10.1. And the lowest lot elevation is also 9.1. The finished floor elevations of the homes that are proposed are 10.5 plus or minus. And all of the stormwater, the concern of stormwater, all the stormwater is being contained and managed on the site with the addition of the ponds that were shown on the plan and attenuated via the, so this will not create additional runoff beyond what is allowed by the stormwater ordinance.
Fence. Do you have any privacy fence for at least on the side?
No, there's no privacy fence contemplated at this time. I would say that along the boundary with Oasis, there is a for a portion of it, there is a significant wetland that buffers a portion of it. There's also a path parcel on the Oasis property. There's a ditch. There's a drainage conveyance ditch that is being maintained in its natural condition at the property line, and then a buffering on our property. So there's probably somewhere between 75 and 100 feet between the rear lots of our property to the rear lots of the homes. And there's only a couple of them that back up one to each other. The rest of our lots back up to a wetland that's within the Oasis boundary and being preserved.
Anything else, Mr. Bagayev?
No, I don't have a question this time.
Mr. Ludos.
On the ingress and egress, it looks like it dumps out onto 41. It also appears, at least from what I'm looking at in the diagram, there's a flaring there. Does that flare out into a turn lane and then back into the main traffic flow?
No, there's no turn lane proposed. We submitted to the DOT with a turn lane, and that was rejected because the site doesn't have the traffic volume doesn't warrant the inclusion of a right turn lane.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And just to note, it was rejected. We've since resubmitted. We're anticipating their approval in the next 7 to 10 days. We've received technical approval from staff at the DOT.
And if you don't have that, what would be your ingress egress?
What's that? I'm sorry.
If you didn't get this, how would you get in and out? What would be the access
point? Well, I don't know the ramifications of what you're asking, because it would basically condemn the property, I suppose. But so I think I'm not an expert on state law in that regard. So.
Because these drainage ditches that you're showing here, the existing drainage ditches, are those, I'm assuming when you say existing, they've been there prior to the development even of Oasis. But are those maintained to make sure that as part of the runoff and
correct. They're within the WVID's maintenance
okay.
program.
Thank you. All right.
No more questions, Mr. Lewis?
No more questions.
Mr. Wolf?
No questions.
I just wanted to ask Sherry if you could help me with I haven't read the buffers lately. The buffers between Oasis, it looks like we've got some wetlands. That adds, that takes away the amount of space you have to have between the house and the subdivision, right? That helps not have to have so much.
They could utilize that, but I do want to bring a little bit of clarification. So this development has been in the Village B VDPP approved for many, many years for the residential, low-density residential. So there are the buffer requirements per the Village B VDPP for that separation. So in answer to your question, yes, they considered that the wetland too, but it still has to maintain that buffer separation regardless. And it does meet those requirements and it is in compliance.
Okay, and obviously we can't tell someone they can't build on their property because it's their property and people mm-hmm. have rights to build on their property.
Yes, and there's still, so at the wetland, they still have to maintain that 25-foot buffer zone within that, as well as providing the required landscape and separation buffers.
So it meets all the required buffers.
It does, mm-hmm. and in the open space, it's calculated based on the site. So to have an understanding, each village pattern plan has their requirement of open space for the overall plan. And then within each individual area that is developed. So as long as they meet that within the site and the overall, they are meeting those requirements for open space.
I just want to make a comment also that FEMA sets the heights of the ground and where builders have to build, and we as a board have no say over what the elevations are that FEMA sets. They've apparently reviewed it and it meets the their laws, and so. Who are we? So that's all my questions. Is there any more questions from the board? No? Okay, then I would close the public hearing. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have any closing arguments, applicant?
No closing arguments, ma'am.
Do you have any closing arguments, staff?
Yes, I do. Board. I just wanted to, and I understand citizens' concerns, when they come forth. Also, this is low-density residential development. It's single-family residence. Multifamily will not be constructed here. It will be blending in with the adjacent neighborhoods. So I wanted to make sure that was addressed on the record. And also regarding to housing types, the Village B Village District Pattern Plan does have their specific design requirements for residential commercial, if you will, but again, this is designated as that low-density residential development, familiar with the regular neighborhoods. So, and I want to conclude that based on the evaluation and that it does meet the Village B VDPP, as well as the City of Northport Comprehensive Plan, the Unified Land Development Code, and Florida Statutes Chapter 177. And staff is recommending that the board would recommend to commission to approve the preliminary subdivision plat for Madeira. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. I close the public hearing and request a motion. Looking for a motion, board, for Madeira Welland Park.
I move to recommend the City Commission approve PSPP 25-01904 via resolution number 2025-R71 Madeira at Welland Park preliminary subdivision plan. Find that based on competent substantial evidence, the specific requirements in the City of Northport comprehensive plan have been met.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
A motion to approve the petition has been made by Mr. Ludos and seconded by Mr. Wolf. Is there any discussion? No more discussion?
The only discussion I would have it be that, and it was answered more or less, but I'm not sure this should have been brought forward until they actually had full approval by FDOT. If it was denied initially and they have an initial approval, I'm not sure we should be looking at without any press egress, but nonetheless, it's been approved, so.
All right. Thank you. Okay, the motion to approve by Mr. Ludos, seconded by Mr. Wolf. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay.
Nay.
Thank you. There was only one dissenting vote by Mr. Bagayev. The motion to approve has passed. Thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
Okay, general business. Discussion and possible action regarding approval of the Planning and Zoning Advisory Board meeting schedule for 2026. It's the last page. It's number, this business number is 25-2896. Board questions to staff. Has everybody reviewed this? It's at the very end of your packet, the very last page.
Schedule.
Same frequency.
I think
every 2 weeks.
No, there's no last page here. Is there any questions from the board regarding these dates?
I have one.
Yes.
But we had so many cancellations in 2025. Is this schedule, will that continue in 2026? And I mean, what could we expect? I'd say we were about maybe a 50% hit rate from the scheduled meetings to the actual meetings held. Is that going to happen again in 2026?
I think so.
Yes, so I'm changing my hat now. Instead of the planner, I am your staff liaison for this board. So we need to have the meeting scheduled. If you notice, January, we only have one meeting because the proposed scheduled meeting is on New Year's Day, so we can't have that. But it is important. This board is very important. A lot of times we don't know when we have a lot of items coming. I know we do have a lot coming down the pipeline that this board will need to be heard. There will be a lot more plats, subdivisions, and we have some other items, comprehensive plan amendments, et cetera. So it is important to keep the calendar scheduled because if not, it can prolong when an item comes and delay a project and we're not meeting our statutory deadlines to get this approved. So some of the items that come before you, for example, has 180 days for it to be approved. So if we don't have the meeting schedule or reduce it, it will put it further in the future and then we're not meeting those statutory deadlines.
Sherry, and the reason for those cancellations was that upon review by planning and zoning, there was no content to need to be, they were met all of the uniform land development codes. There was nothing there to really be reviewed because they were meeting the requirements of our revised ULDC in the future land use. Is that predominantly the reason?
It could be some of it. So the vacation of easements no longer come before the board. few and far between. But what will come before the board, annexations, comprehensive plan amendments, rezonings, those are a lot of what's here. Master concept plan is the new verbiage, especially if they're requesting waivers or modifications. So that will come before this board, as well as the preliminary subdivision plats. You were seeing the plats at the end, now you're seeing it in the preliminary stage. So there is a lot, and I know that there's a lot of development going on. So if it's a site and development plan, if it meets the code requirements, it doesn't go, that is staff review through the DRC, Development Review Committee. But there's a lot coming, and so it's very important for the calendar, and a lot of times too, and I guess now I can have the opportunity to bring it up. So commission does not meet in August, and neither does the board. And I'm hoping the board could reconsider that, because, I mean, if it is canceled, you're not here. However, it does create a delay. So our delay is to get it here before the last meeting in July. Commission doesn't meet. We have to wait till September before that item could go. So it does cause a delay with a lot of the timing. So I'm just asking the board to consider it, because this was the last couple years that it had changed. I think probably this might be the third year to not have that August meeting, and we do find that it is necessary.
Well, since I term out on the 11th, so this at the end of December, those will be my last meetings on this board, and I think that those delays from it. One of the biggest complaints you hear in Northport is it's hard to work with Northport government, that there's, you know, those are the kinds of things I hear a lot of. And in defense of that, I like what Northport does relative to, they dot their I's, they cross their T's, and if it causes a delay, it causes a delay. So I think, you know, keeping the August on the calendar, obviously the group that's left is going to have to make that decision. But again, holding something in July and not getting approved by board until, so to me it makes sense that you continue to get this board to approve it and stack it up on the commission, put the responsibility on the commission. They're the ones taking off, and maybe you don't need both meetings. But the other thing, relative to this body, what I was informed of was that this no longer falls under the ULDC, that it is now just another, like all the other bodies, advisory boards that are in the city, and that the number is now 6 with 2 alternates. I don't think that'll impact anything that goes on, but I found that kind of interesting when I got that news yesterday, I think it was. That it was no longer falling under the ULDC. I'm not sure what the logic for that was, maybe just reorganization. But again, I agree with you that the function of this body is, I think, critical, and it brings to the public the opportunity to hear what goes on and to ask questions and see if it's resolved that way. So
I personally like the August off, though. It's nice that you can go on a cruise or, you know, do something during that month, whereas all the other months we meet regularly, and I personally like being off in August. But we're going to be off a lot, so we're probably going to not have as many meetings this time, so maybe August wouldn't be maybe we could just do one meeting in August instead of two.
I do see August in here.
Well, absenteeism, what's the rule? Is it 2 missed meetings, 3 missed meetings? Do you know?
I'll defer to the clerks.
It's 6 for planning and zoning. It's 3 for every other board.
6 missed, so you could still miss your meeting, turn it over to your vice chair for that meeting, go on your cruise.
Yeah. True. Well, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Now, what is it, August? I don't see it in here. June, July, September.
Yeah, that's it. We don't have any meetings in August.
Good. I thought like I thought you said like we had all the blitz.
Well, that's what the problem is. People come in and they have business with the city, and if we don't meet in August, then they have to wait, and then they have to wait on the commission too. So it's kind of, I don't know. Does anybody want to change? Does anybody feel that they want to change what we've been given?
No.
No.
You do?
No.
You don't?
I'm fine.
You don't either?
I'm not. No? I mean, I'm not going to be here, so.
August is the only month I get time off, so I don't want to be here in August, no.
I'm okay with
it. I want the board to keep in mind that if he is going to be leaving, and so he is my vice chairman. So someone else is going to have to step up and become my vice chairman in case I'm sick or on a cruise. So think about that. And each chairman does 2 years. Does the vice chairman do 2 years too? Is like I did?
Vice chair do 2 years? Is it, when do we elect chairs or vice chairs?
We, once a year, at the beginning of the year.
At the beginning of the year. So that would go?
At the beginning of the year, so.
So you could make Mr. Petrikowski just make him the president. That would take care of that.
And I have to leave.
So keep those things in mind. We'll think about what we've been given, and if you feel strongly, we'll address it in the next meeting. Let the record show Mr. Petrikowski has left the hearing. Is there any other discussion? Is there any public comment, recording secretary? And it is 10:31, and this meeting.
The future agenda items. I just wanted to bring.
Sorry to interrupt you. We didn't get a motion to approve the schedule.
Okay, can someone give us a motion?
I have a motion to approve schedule for 2026 meeting dates as advisory board meeting on the first and third Thursday of each month.
Second. 1 second. Okay. Is there any discussion? No discussion? All right. Call for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Motion passes unanimous. All right. It is 10:32 and this
The future. I know you want to go, but for future agenda items, there are a couple items that I want to discuss. So in the last meeting in December of this year, I want to have a training for the board, and this is regards to what the comprehensive plan is in the new Unified Land Development Code. Ms. Barnes, our deputy director, and myself had conducted that training a couple years ago, and it was very lengthy and in depth on what needs to be done. So we are going to revisit that. I'm going to be working on getting that prepared. Also, in the second meeting, I'm going to bring forth the annual report, a draft of that annual report. The report will be in the format that has been approved. I know that the ones in the past, it's a little bit different. So I'm going to present a draft to the board so that way we can have it as a discussion item. We've never discussed that I could see what the board did not establish a goal. I know that when I was liaison for the Zoning Board of Appeals, they had a goal that they established. So those are some of the items that perhaps you can think about personally. And then when we convene again, we can have that discussion on what you'd like to see in the goals, et cetera. So those are the two items that I wanted to bring that will be future agenda items.
Fair enough.
Is there anything else, Ms. Condon-Rillett? Rillett Condon? Excellent. Okay.
Great.
Okay, it's 10:34. This meeting is adjourned.